Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 128th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Juma Andrew Ogweta, who's affectionately known as DJ Onyx. He is originally from South Sudan and lived in Egypt before moving to Maine in 1999 at the age of 11. He attended King Middle School and Portland High School, where I understand he still holds the standing record for sprinting the 40-yard dash. And you may even recognize his memorable baritone voice from all of his work as a DJ in the area, making joyful times happen for lots of people. It's such a pleasure to have you in the studio today.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure as well.
Welcome to New Mainers Speak. So your family is from Sudan, and they left before the region was recognized as a sovereign country of South Sudan. I wondered if you could tell us about your young life there before you left for Khartoum, Egypt, and then for Portland, Maine. What was it like, the smells, the music, the community? What did it feel like to be in South Sudan?
That's kind of a little bit tough for questions. But like I said, I moved from Sudan to Egypt. I was very young, like around four, five, 6 years old. So pretty much I spent most of my time in Egypt. But if you ask me today, just if you meet me in the street, ask me, how was life in Sudan? I wouldn't know much about it.
So how was life in Egypt when you were, I guess when you were really conscious child, like from 3 to 11, you were in Egypt, Cairo?
Yes, Egypt, where I spent all, pretty much like wised up. That's where like I call
home. That's where you
wised up? Wised up. That's where I call like, I call home, you know. It's like friends, family, their food, music, everything that I could just remember as just yesterday.
And when you lived in the large city of Cairo, Egypt, was there a, like a South Sudanese community that lived together there in Egypt?
Yes, it's a neighborhood called Mahdi. It's like a split into two. There's Mahdi, then there's Hadaik al-Mahdi, which you could find lots of community of South Sudan, Sudanese as well. It's a big community, yes.
And is it mostly Acholi people?
No, it's all mixed up Acholi, Dinka, Nuer.
So many tribes.
As goes on, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Sudanese people stick together there in that neighborhood.
Always.
So what did your parents do for work when they were in Khartoum and Egypt?
You know, that's funny. I never asked my mother that. I was young. I didn't know nothing. But in Egypt, she used to make bags, like bags and sell them. That's how she used to provide to help us living and all that.
As a seamstress?
As bags. Just to sell it to tourists when they come to Egypt, Cairo, and all that. You know, just, yeah.
That's industrious and creative.
Creative, yes.
Yeah, she's still creative?
She's still, yeah.
When you were a boy, did you think it at all about what you might like to be when you grow up?
It was so many that one time I said, you know what, I want to become an officer.
Police officer.
One time, and I'm like, nah, I don't want officer. Let me, you know what? I'm gonna be a doctor. You know how like, because growing up, I want to be this.
Oh, you gotta try all the hats on.
I want to be that. Yeah. So like, I always had that music in me, but I never thought like that's actually a real job. One time, I ran to my uncle. I told him, hey, I think I want to be one of the biggest singer ever. He was just looking at me, laughing at me, like from doctor, police officer to a singer, how could that be?
Why not an NBA player? Too?
Yeah.
But you had music in your heart from the very beginning.
Always had music in me. Yeah.
Do you remember what you thought about when you were told you were going to be leaving for the States from Egypt and what you thought it would be like?
It was tough. It was difficult. It was. My uncle, which is my dad's little brother, came to Egypt from Sudan. That's before actually it was South Sudan. He came to Egypt. He was in the village actually. He came to Egypt. He stayed with us for a little bit, did his process, So he got accepted to come to U.S. So he told my mom, let me take these. It was my two sisters and me. And then I had a little sister, which didn't make it to come with us. So pretty much like four of us, me, my uncle, and my two sisters. He told my mom that he wanted to bring us for a better life and schooling and all that. So my mom accepted that. Like, it was tough, because leaving my mom back and my little sister. So, but she, in her heart, she knows it's for good cause.
And did she believe she would follow along?
Yeah. She knows, like, somehow we're going to meet again. She always had that faith in her.
You know? This is very generous, like, of your uncle to take his brother's three children with him, like, to a new country.
Yeah, like, till today, I look at him like my older brother. Because till even now, we just stay in touch. Like, always there. Family love. We're always there.
Yeah. You know? Does he still live in Maine?
He still lives in Maine. I was actually talking to him on the phone earlier.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Maybe he's listening today.
Yeah.
Well, here's to the uncles of the world who have protected children and taken them across the country and gotten them started. How long were you here as an 11-year-old before your mom joined up with you?
Actually, she came 2002. Yeah, I think 2002.
So three years after.
Yeah, it was tough.
I used to cry
a lot at night.
Yeah.
Missing them and all that. But, you know, like, after a while, I got over it. Wish I had that faith. Okay, they're going to come. We're all going to meet one day. That type of thing. You know, I'm praying a lot and all that. But
in middle school's hard enough.
It was
tough. A really difficult time of life. But you came not speaking English.
Nope.
Reading and writing in Arabic, but that wasn't all that useful to you as a little boy at King Middle School.
Not at all.
and missing your mom and your family and your culture. And, you know, Cairo's a bit different than Portland, Maine.
Way different. Way.
Oh, I feel for your young self. Mm. What did you learn as an 11-year-old on your own here that you have used throughout your life? Did you come to any knowledge about yourself or the world that's helpful?
Honestly, it was tough. Like I said, coming here, not knowing a bit of English, it was tough. I had to find my way around and just get comfortable with people around me and just, like, watch and learn how everything works first.
Yeah.
It was really tough.
Maybe what you learned is you can get through tough times.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to be scared that something might be hard, because you know you can do that.
Definitely. Everything could be done.
But it could be so different today in light of the political changes. You know, South Sudanese people are not allowed in the country as of this weekend.
Yeah, it's just tough. I see in the news earlier and yesterday too, it was just heartbreak.
That's the word. I feel really so sad for the families like yours, where some have come and some are expected to come.
True.
And right now everything's on hold and people are so scared.
It's just crazy. It's really crazy.
Yeah. I'm glad for you that your family was able to reunite and carry on here. Your mom's a nurse here, right?
Definitely.
And raising seven kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Impressive.
Hey.
Here's to the moms of the world. Was there anybody that kind of helped you along your way when you were a student at King Middle School?
Actually, yes. Like I say once again, like, coming here, not knowing even how to say hi in English, it was tough. Came into a class that English as a second language. No one in the classroom speak English. Everybody is different countries. It's hard to communicate. So I really needed to fit in with friends that I made. I don't even speak English. You know, it's like, then I had a teacher named Mr. Bruno. Hopefully he's listening right now as well. Yeah, he helped me through a lot. He helped me a lot.
What did he do that was helpful?
Like, I even had to stay even after school for tutoring and all that stuff. Just even, like, learning how to use computer and all that stuff. Like, he helped me many ways. Like, school and work, like, homework, stuff that I don't understand. He would tell me, hey, stay after school, let's go over it, and this and that, you know. It was really difficult. And just, like, as soon as, you know, in a couple of months, everything just becomes easy and easy and easy.
Yeah, so just in a couple of months, you were starting to understand the language and speak, too?
Yeah, actually, it took me, like, actually a year to move to a higher class, like they call it mainstream, yes, yeah. So pretty much, like, it helped. So until today, I always like thank him whenever I see him, you know.
Yeah. Really, can we even thank our teachers enough for the world they introduce us to? Especially the ones that go out of their way and see you and see your need and help you.
Most definitely.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Did the students connect through music at all, since it's such a universal language?
To be honest, no. Most of them just like, in, you mean in the class,
yes,
right?
In your ESL class.
No, most of them were just quiet. Then one time my teacher like, you know what? Let's have some fun in this class. We're going to do a project about Metro Bus. So I was like, you know, does it have something to do with music? He was like, you know what? We're going to add that. So it brights up everybody. So everybody came down with ideas. We didn't speak English. He writes what he needed us to say, and then we make it in our own word, take it home, practice it with music, whatever it is. Then the whole class just came out with this beautiful, beautiful project. The Metro Bus loved it. I thanked each classmate. Till today, when I look back at that, I just laugh. Like, how we didn't know English coming from can't say even hi to, like, where I'm standing today. It's just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, and it must have worked your ad for Metro Bus, because their ridership was the biggest they've ever had last year.
Yeah.
Did you do a rap or some kind of song?
I did a rap. It was funny. I couldn't even picture myself rapping. I was like, wow, me rapping.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. If you had one piece of advice for people who are newly arriving in the United States today in similar situations, what would you tell them?
To be honest, just be open-minded, participate. I just believe in yourself. You could do anything that you put your mind into. And then just stay humble, pretty much. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about hard work.
It's all about hard work, yes.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak, and my guest today is Juma Andrew Ogweta. But he's known to many as DJ Onyx. He's originally from South Sudan and has lived and worked in Maine for 18 years. So how old were you, DJ Onyx, when you began to realize that music was an important part of your life?
Honestly, I was like about 12 going to 13. 12 was turning 13, yeah. Then it was funny because I used to sneak in the clubs here in Maine.
You did?
Yeah. It was funny because, like, I told my older brother, like, you know, I want to do something different. He's like what? I'm like, I know, I love music. And, you know, he used to order so much CDs. I used to just sit with him, like, I want this, I want this, I want this. He would order me so much CDs. And what I used to do is he bought me actually a little mixer. He bought me a little mixer. I'm like, how am I going to make this thing work? So what I did is went downstairs, took two of the DVDs, hooked them up so it would give me like a turntable.
Ah.
Yeah, so I made a sound out of that. I loved it. So I told him, you see, I could actually read this. So I went on YouTube, like studied how to actually beat matching and all that stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I told my brother I could picture this big, you know. He looked actually just like me too. So I was like, can you just help me get out the door? Just let's make this thing work. It's like, you know, your uncle ain't going to be happy or all that. So I'm like, okay. So we left it. So I keep on pushing him into it. I want to do something with this music. I want to do something with this music. Then my cousin, his name is Thomas. He lives in Tennessee now. One time he had a house party back then. So I was sitting next to him watching him because he's older than me. I was just sitting next to him watching him. So I watched so much that I could know actually what button to press and what to do.
Ah.
He pretty much everybody dancing, everybody having a good time. So it was like, after these songs, can you hold this turntable real quick? I got to go to the bathroom. He just tried to test me, try to see what I'm going to do. So he was like, as soon as this song's done, press this button and then it would just play. So I was like, okay. I sat there. I was nervous. I like, what if he didn't come back? What am I going to do? People are going to boo me, you know? So I sat. I like, as me observing what he was doing. So I managed. I just went through his CDs, whoever I know, whatever. He used to write on the cover of the CD, this artist and that artist. What I did was, first thing, I stepped in the front of the mixer he had. I looked around. The crowd was vibing to what he had on. So I kept it to the same vibe. As soon as you know it, I was just rocking the crowd. Everybody dancing, loving it. He came. He sat next to me, watching me. You like what you do? I'm like, yeah. Just give me 5 more minutes. I would get up. 5 more minutes. I kept on playing song after song. Nobody wanted to sit down. Everybody just having fun. So he was like, you know what? You got like an hour. That's all you. I'm like, an hour? How am I going to do that? I was nervous still. So he was like, you know what? Just focus and just look at the crowd. Don't look at what you're doing. Just look at the crowd. Focus. So I'm like, okay. I went on and on. It was beautiful. Everybody vibing. Then one guy came up, you know, you and your cousin, you guys should form up a group or just do it together. You guys good together, you know? It was nice how the night ended. So I'm like, you know what? I think we should do that. He was like, yeah, let's do it. So me and him, we start like booking lounges, halls, just start doing. I told my older brother, he was upset because I was younger.
Yeah, you were like, 13,
yeah,
right?
He was like, you're not even like legal to go to in the clubs yet. How are you going to do that? So he was like, then he looked at me. He's like, you know what? As long as Thomas, do you guys save then? So I'm like, okay, cool. So Thomas had an older cousin that looked like him too. So he used to use his ID to do the
clubs. You were so driven.
It was crazy. Then I took my brother ID. He know that already. I took his ID. We end up going to this club called, by the old port, it used to call Industry. So I was like, I told my cousin, you know what? I'm going to go talk to the owner. I'm going to get us a gig at this club. My cousin like, no, you can't do that. We're already younger. We're already young. We're not even supposed to be here. So I told him, just watch me. I talked to the owner. The owner told me, okay, come see me tomorrow. We'll talk more. Right now, kind of busy. The next morning, I couldn't wait. Told my brother, yo, I want to see this guy. I found him outside. I didn't tell him I went inside the club.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like, oh, okay, that's nice. But you're not old enough. Then I just switched up. I changed the subject faster. So the next morning, I met the owner. The owner like, you know what? I don't know you. It's tough to give you a shot to see what you're working with. So I was like, you know, I'm going to just try to give you a little mix so you could see.
A little demo.
Yes, to see how I do my thing. So he was like, okay. I gave him like 5 minutes. He liked it. He's like, you know, I give you a shot. One night, he loved it. So he asked me, let me see your IDs and all that so I could get to know you more. Like, what's your real name? Who are you? And all that stuff. I looked younger. I had a baby face. I looked so young. So he was like, I gave him a brother ID. He looked at it. He shook his head. He's like, son, don't ever come back here. That's the last time I seen that guy. A couple of months after that club got shut down because too much underage used to go there. Yeah.
It wasn't just your ID.
Yeah. So it was.
So what is it about music that you love so much? What keeps you so passionate about
music? Music is healing. It's just like a healing medicine, man. Like we say, music is always a universal language. No matter what you're from, music will always touches you in many ways, you know? Yes.
Yeah. So where has this DJ work taken you over time?
Honestly, I've come a long way. Like, even in town in Portland right now, a lot knows me as a DJ Onyx. Without even, like, they see my name on the flyer, they'll always want to be there. But DJing took me so far that I even get to see places that I never thought I would actually step foot on. You know, like, my first gig, I went to Arizona, Dallas, Texas. I went a couple of times, actually. And then Nashville, I did that too. Atlanta, actually, I forgot to mention, I went twice in Atlanta. It was all love. It was all great show. Great. I would always love to work with these people back again.
And so what's your dream with being a DJ? Where might your life be in 15 years, 10, 15 years as a DJ?
To be honest, I say this. A lot of people say you can't do the same thing forever. You know, so the sky's the limit. Who knows? where exactly would take me, you know.
Well, I hope good things for you. If people listening think they'd like to hear you as a DJ and would like to book you, how would they get a hold of you?
Oh, you could always go on my Facebook at DJ Onyx. Or actually, I'll load up a mix on SoundCloud at DJ Onyx as well. So make sure you visit that weekly for new mixes. And yeah, go to bookdjonyx at gmail as well too.
Okay, and I will hot link to those things from the show's website in case people are riding along and can't take note now, but they could definitely get in touch with you through the newmainerspeak.com website.
Definitely.
Super. Now your daughter's nearly the age you were when you came to the United States. How is that for you when you compare her young life to your very own?
Honestly, sometimes it's funny because sometimes I sit there and be like, wow, is she really actually my daughter? You know, like, I can't believe how things years went by so fast. But, like, I even tell her today, like, wherever you go, whatever you meet, whoever tell you anything, just like make sure, like, life is sweet and short. You could do whatever you put your heart to, hard work, whatever it is that like you wanted to accomplish, it would always be accomplished. Like stuff that I couldn't even do, you got the power to do. You know, so it's.
What kinds of things is she good at? Does she like to? DJing with you?
She always watched me. Like, at home, you know, they say practice make perfect. I get my practice on. She would just sit there, watch me, you know. One time, I sneaked out up the stairs, finally just play with my DJ equipment. She actually good.
Yeah, imagine that.
She actually good. She loved music as well. She loved music, drawing, reading, you know. Yeah, smart little girl.
I know you're so proud of her. I love the way you talk about her. Your face lights up and, you know, you consider her a great gift in your life.
Definitely. That's pride and joy right there.
Yeah. That's so sweet. What kind of music does she like to listen to?
She's into top 40s till this here and there Afrobeats that comes. She would loves it. She would get up and dance to it. You know, so she's pretty much like diverse when it comes to music as well. But her main focus, she loved top 40s.
And how about you? What do you listen to in your spare time?
Me in my spare time, I listen to my most, like, if I had to choose what genre of music, I would go by R&B. Mellow R&B in my free, slow time, downtime. I go by mellow R&B.
Who's your favorite artist?
My favorite artist, R&B, saying?
Mm-hmm.
R&B. I go New Edition. New Edition. Yes. New Edition.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And I hear you just go online every once in a while and just see what's new.
Exactly.
Out there.
Exactly. So you just.
I love that you do little audio clips now and then on SoundCloud so people can just hear what's new that you're liking to hear.
Yeah, that's definitely. Always got to keep people up to date, you know. It's like. We the provider will provide the people that like the ears that will listen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
we're counting on
you.
We're
just delivering.
That's right. So DJ Onyx, you are a son, a brother, a father, a worker, a DJ, an athlete, a friend, and an authentic lover of music. Your passion for sharing music builds community and connects people of the world in joyful and meaningful ways. And thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information on facebook.com/newmainerspeak. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, DJ Onyx. I'm very much looking forward to hearing your choice of music today. Will you be so kind as to introduce the song you've chosen to close the show?
Yes. So actually, this song, I was actually going through SoundCloud last week, I ran into this song. The meaning, the song, the beat, everything itself is just perfect, beautiful song. So I'd like to introduce you. This Sudanese artist. He goes by VIP. Hope you enjoy the song.
Great. Looking forward to it.
فرحتي ارارا ارارا